a tiny statelet pretending to be a country with a civil service costing everyone a fortune and not doing an awful lot right. That's a rough summation of commentator Newton Emerson's recent column in the Irish Times. Newton is with us this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Newton. And David McNary is with us too. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sum up what you said for in this column, Newton.
Well, perhaps the expression "pretending to be a country" was a little bit unnecessarily provocative. I had a very specific meaning about it.
I think you've accused the Nolan Show of being unnecessarily provocative in the past.
Well, I should explain what this expression meant. We have a unique feature of our public administration that isn't very widely known, which is that we don't have a civil service that's part of the UK civil service. We have a completely self-contained little copy of the civil service. Now, that's not how it works in Scotland and Wales. Civil servants there are all part of the UK Home Service. And while they might operate in departments for the Scottish executive or the Welsh executive, they're kind of seconded to it, and they work in parallel with colleagues from the national departments. But here, and this has always been the case right since the creation of Northern Ireland, we have a completely self-contained Northern Ireland civil service, our own departments, and it all operates from scratch. And the problems with this are coming out now in the RHI inquiry. That's why I wrote this article. When you look at policies like RHI, the limitations of trying to get a tiny little copy of the UK civil service to replicate everything it does coming to light. Things like, for example, having to adapt a policy as complex as RHI, which might have had hundreds of civil servants working on it in Whitehall, where only two or three part-time people were put onto the task here. And also an instinct to waste, such as when Stormont civil servants knowingly cost the British taxpayer £300 million.
So what are you calling for here? Do you want direct rule permanently or what?
To save Stormont £3.5 million. Well, because that was part of their, that was rational from their perspective. What I was calling for was perhaps looking more at the model in Scotland and Wales, where we have, national civil servants. Where they work, they're not trying to copy and completely replicate the entire UK system, but they're more a part of it. They're more integrated into the national civil service.
David, do you agree?
I read this article with gritted teeth. Amazed that it was written by Newton Emerson, because it sounds like throw in the towel, pack up your bags, and get rolled over. And I'm pretty sure, Stephen, I speak for scores of thousands of people, and I'm saying out loud that we're not interested in switching, as Newton would want us, switching direct rule from London to Dublin, because that's where he is, and already he's trying to get out of pretending to be a country. That actually wrangled with me. That insulted me. He then goes on to say, the solution is a united Ireland, and he wants our government to join up with the Irish to make arrangements to govern Northern Ireland without Stormont. He wants health and third level education right now to be shared with Dublin. And Newton, you've flipped. You're now a cheerleader for a new Ireland, with or without the consent of unionism, and you're in there with, if you get Mary Lou, then you get Colin Brigade now. Sorry to hear you.
Well, could I explain what I actually said in the article exactly?
You have to explain it. That's the problem. You wrote it, and if you have to explain it differently to how I read it and how thousands of people will have read it, then you've made a mistake.
Well, allow me to quote it exactly. I said that we should have more east-west and north-south cooperation. Stormont should do less on its own. It should consider east-west partnerships for back-office administration, like Social Security Administration, for example, while delivering more frontline public services on a north-south basis, because you can't have people travelling to the mainland for healthcare or for university education. Those things would have to be maybe coordinated more on a north-south cross-border basis. But the administration of Northern Ireland would be better integrated east-west. So what I wrote exactly was the constitutional question on this cancels out. One solution it points to would be a united Ireland, but another is an integrated UK, which was the mainstream unionist position, and I believe was in fact your position for many years. So it's not a constitutional question. It's about a more efficient administration.
Years integration. I fought integration, integrationists like Jim Molyneux, respect him, Enoch Powell, etc., for years. I was always an am from the day and hour. And what you're talking about was a parliament that adapts the protocols that it has. From the day and hour when I was a young man, that parliament was taken away from us and prorogued.
But David,
I thought to have devolution. What you're saying is you've given up.
Hold on one second, David.
What do you mean we're pretending to be a country?
David, what kind of allergic reaction have you taken to this article? This isn't about devolution or the parliaments or assemblies. It's about the civil service. It's about how it runs. And RHI has quite clearly shown that our civil service, although it is large for a population our size, we still have twice as many civil servants as Scotland per head. It's still not capable of doing the job because we're still too small as an entity to manage our administration efficiently.
I don't disagree with that. What you're implying is that our poor old civil servants aren't up to adapting to Westminster policies because we haven't enough staff. That's what you said. Then you say we've far too many staff.
Well, if you look at the RHI inquiry so far, and let's let the inquiry make its ultimate conclusions at the end of it. But there's no doubt, David, that all different parties in that inquiry so far have been talking about the small teams involved in making big decisions. If you follow the testimony, that is what is being said, David, and that's what Newton is referring to. You've got these small teams of people, and if you look at the equivalent teams across the water, we are a little blot compared to the massive teams that there are across the water making similar, doing similar work.
So have we got the capacity then to be
a devolved administration? If people aren't processing information properly and they're saying, look, there were not enough people, if messages that are getting to ministers are distorted, if special advisors are then not passing messages on to ministers and so it goes on, is something not going to go wrong in Northern Ireland? Well, maybe it already has. Let's see what the RHI inquiry concludes.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with the first part of his article. No one knows, and certainly I'm amazed that there didn't appear to be any head of the civil service going to a first minister and saying, we're doing this wrong, we can't cope, we can't do this, because there's no sign of any action being taken. The top people are accused here in this article of wastefully costing the taxpayer and the treasurer $300 million. I agree with all that. What I'm saying is that it's a very, 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 very cheap way to have a shot at Northern Ireland, as if to run us down, as we're a wee blot on the landscape. We are proper people. We belong to a proper country. And all that I think Newton's trying to do is join the club that wants to take us into a new Ireland, and let's have a united Ireland. And I'm not going there. I'm just not going
there.
Final
word to you, Newton.
Pardon?
Well, the point of my article was that after years and years of saying that we have too many civil servants, which, in economic terms remains the case, RHI has revealed that at the same time, we don't have enough to do the job properly. So we need an imaginative approach to fixing that. East-West and North-South partnerships are the obvious way. And of course, the fact remains that we are not a country. We are a province of the United Kingdom. And administratively pretending to be a country has become our undoing. And the RHI inquiry has shown that.
David, they spell fast. Morning, David.
Morning. I must admit, I've been listening with great interest. I don't think I agree with David McNary. I honestly think the more cooperation one can have, the better in this world. I mean, is this a country? We haven't had a government for a year and a half. We have a huge argument over this, or a huge investigation over IHI. We have the shambles over the border and Brexit. Now, I am not one particularly for United Ireland, but if I was given a vote now, I think I would vote for it.
Well, what do you mean you're not one for
United Ireland? I'll tell you, if I was given a vote now, David, I would say yes, we're going to United Ireland.
And I just would listen to the other arguments. The other arguments are to find our strength, find a new Northern Ireland. Why can't we do that?
For a long time, and you were part of it.
Why can't we find a new Northern Ireland?
It's face.
You never said if we're not a country, what happens to my biggest show in the country slogan? I'll sue you.
I suppose you're still free to use it. I mean, as a figure of speech, but as in administrative
it's
terms,
real, mate.
Trying,
I've seen the figures. It's real.
What we try and do in Northern Ireland is we try and replicate the entire administrative structure of a nation state. And although there are nation states, even in Europe, the size of Northern Ireland, the Baltic states, for example, they have about half the public sector share of the economy that we do. If we want to continue having this enormous public sector and high quality public services, we need look at new ways to deliver them efficiently, and the RHI inquiry has really brought that to the fore.
Okay. What do you make, Newton, of my idea, by the way, of getting T-shirts printed? Have you seen Diamuna and Sir Patrick?
No.
Have you seen them in action?
No, I haven't.
You haven't? You need to go onto the website for the RHI inquiry and watch these people. I'm telling you, you'll get it. Yes.
Stephen, why don't you get Carl Frampton T-shirts done? Great guy, great result. Great Northern Ireland.
Well, I would agree with all of that, David. Thank you very
yeah,
much.
Yeah, that's
thank
where
you.
We are. Great guys in Great Northern Ireland.
So it's whether it's Diamuna v. Carl Frampton. Thank you, David. Good morning. Bye. Thank you, Newton. Morning
Bye-bye.
To you. And Jordan Fermanagh. Good morning, Jared.
Stephen.
Yes, Jared.
Stephen, Carl Frampton is one of our best ambassadors for Northern Ireland.
Yes.
And that man from Dunamana.
Dunamina.
Oh, well, call what you want. I would pay £100 for you and him to fight so the money could go to charity.
Yes.
So what do you think?
Well, it's probably inappropriate for a BBC presenter to say this, but I would like to knock that licence fee pair out.
Well, I would pay £100, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people.
Yes.
Go to Windsor Park.
Yes. I wonder, could I be on the pre-card for Windsor Park? What do you think?
I would definitely.
But what would be my fighting weight?
Oh, we wouldn't worry about that. You've plenty of time to lose a few pounds.
Thank you, Jared.